Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
John Hanson here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. And my first guest, a frequent guest of Your Money Matters, which I host 6 p.m. Monday through Thursdays. On that program, Craig Bolanos has an incredible streak of 35 out of 36 appearances where the market was in the green. I won't count today against you, Craig Bolanos, here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks for hopping on with us, my friend. Boy, we're not having a great day, are we?
No, John, it's good to be with you. Although I did think when Roaring Kitty made his post about GameStop, everything was going to be in the green. Guess it didn't turn out to be that case for the broad Dow Jones Industrial Average this morning.
Yeah, that'll happen sometimes. You get a bump up, everyone's feeling good, and then it turns around for us lay people. What changes? Like, what is the motivation that changes? Is it algorithms? Hey, when something hits this number, sell it off? Is it data that's coming through? Or I guess each day is different.
Every day is different, but let's be sincere, John. The market moves faster than it ever has because it's no longer individuals. It's individuals and computers, right? And computerized trading and the algorithms that come with it, they just mow things down in the same way we quickly prop things up. And that's why people need to continue to focus on the intermediate to long term, because the intraday is, at the end of the day, an awful lot of noise.
It is, right? And I think we all, if you're listening to this program, you hear the numbers all the time. We mention them on the radio. They're important for a lot of people. But for those that are too tuned in, Craig, that's when you can kind of make mistakes, right? Sometimes the passive investors can win out.
Well, there's a big difference between trading and investing, right? I mean, they're interrelated, but they're two completely different skill sets. And what I really think people should remember now that we're through the month of May, and remember, some people were saying, oh, it's May, you got to sell in May and go away. Boy, that would have been a mistake, because John, the month of May was fantastic. I just want people to know that as far as I'm concerned at the Wealth Management Group, right now the economy and the market are fine despite some of the headlines, because the four core drivers of this rally are actually still in place.
I think some of the bright flashing yellow lights that people see, you know, where's the inflation the first couple of months, although we got a good reading for the PCE, the personal consumption expenditure report. I think I got that right, Craig.
You got it right.
Hey, we're learning, right? A couple of years hosting that show. I know what I'm saying now, kind of. Some people are pointing to like manufacturing and production, just these flashing yellow signs that maybe what buttresses up our economy, some of these big American companies are flashing yellow. Are you seeing that too?
Well, you know, let's break it down into both parts. So first, again, those four key issues: solid growth, falling inflation, expectations for a Fed rate cut, and continued tech stock strength. All of those are still comfortably in place. What I do acknowledge, though, my biggest concern is and always has been not the timing of those Fed rate cuts, but my concern is if we get an unexpected economic slowdown, that's where some of that manufacturing data, some of the consumer spending data from some of the key retailers that have reported, that's what I worry about. I worry about a growth shock. You know, that's an economic disruption that can go ahead and break this bull market rally. But right now, I continue to focus on the big four, and the big four: solid growth, falling inflation, expectations for a rate cut, and continued strength in tech means, hey, we're still in a good place to buy the dips.
That's Craig Bolanos. We're not done with him yet, but if you want to give him a call at 833-WMG-PLAN, he helps you see how your spending and your savings, your investing, all that impacts the money you need for retirement. And you can give him a call again at 833-WMG-PLAN. Craig, I know that they say, like, stay away in May, and it was a really good May. You explained that in the first segment. So I just want to preface my next question by saying, all past year indicators are no guarantee of future indicators, but just given, generally speaking, election years, Craig, What do they look like? What do they feel like as we go through the summer, fall, and into the post-election period?
Well, I mean, most certainly we know that once we get through the first debate, which is coming up pretty soon, John, and then once we get through convention thereafter, the political ads are going to dominate. You're not going to see drug ads on TV anymore. Whether that's good or not, I'm not sure. But what does that mean? It just means I think we're going to have some bigger pops and drops as we get closer to the election. That is very normal. But I think for investors, people would do wise to continue to focus on the economy first, earnings second, and the Fed third, because you can't make a decision on markets being good, bad, or indifferent just because of a presidential election cycle.
Yeah, I used this example on Your Money Matters once about someone that I know, and you could insert any political party or any president here, and it doesn't make a difference. Both sides run on fear and greed sometimes when the person they like or don't like wins the White House. But I know of someone who pulled out of the markets entirely for the second Obama term and for Joe Biden's term. And I ran the numbers recently, and I was shocked to find out that this person had cut their retirement in half by doing that. And I'm not saying that one party or the other. It's just, Craig, don't make your decisions on how you invest based on the person who's in the White House.
Do not trade based on those political confluences. No, absolutely not. You're going to do yourself a disservice. Now, it does make sense to be educated because fiscal policy, spending, and direction can lead and influence sectors in the market. But this idea of just because my person does or does not win is going to determine whether I do or do not invest, that's a false narrative, a false deity, and you're right. No one should chase that.
Right. And I should also say that if you weren't investing during President Trump's term, that was a huge mistake as the markets were way higher by the end of President Trump's term as well. That's why I was saying both parties. But just to put a finer point on that, Craig. So, Craig, we're looking here. We're moving forward. The vibe is what? I mean, it really seems data dependent right now, which I guess is how it should be. A lot of people aren't just trading with the optimism there. People want to see the numbers back it up.
No, you got to see the numbers back it up, you know, and our job, you know, on the noon business hour at the Wealth Management Group is just to continue to watch the macroeconomic data and the microeconomic results to determine when or if a slowdown is ultimately going to appear. But at this point in time, it doesn't yet register that people should be defensive. In the same way, I think if we kept it simple, everybody who's listening, pay attention. Do we continue to have growth, continue to have good news on inflation, expectations for a Fed rate cut, and strength in the technology sector? Look at NVIDIA again today. If the answer to those four is yes, then I think people can expect that the trend remains higher between now and the end of the year, albeit any opportunities probably should be met with a buy-the-dip mentality.
Last couple of years have been tough on a lot of families with inflation where it is. No doubt about that. In fact, we had a text. I want to read it here. They said the economy is fine for those who can afford it, which undoubtedly is true. I want to, though, compare like other countries, their stock market performances. Like you look at the UK and it flat for a while, maybe up 1% or so with GDP every now and then. Japan just got back to where they were in the 80s. What is America doing differently? Or is it false hope and optimism for why we, despite the mountains and valleys, have continued to chart this upward course?
Well, I think you have to look. There's a couple of pieces. I mean, number one, it's innovation leads to disruption, which is an investable theme. And if you think of how much innovation comes out of companies that are great American companies in North America, it is that innovation that leads to positive change, which leads to the economic power of every American citizen. And as long as we continue to have free markets and free people, I think you're going to continue to see a good backdrop for North America to potentially continue to outperform what would be emerging markets, what would be Europe and Far East, up until that growth scare eventually gets here. It's just not here yet today. So, John, it's been a good story to have a North American-focused portfolio for many years, and I think it still is in June of 2024.
708 says, is bifurcation a legitimate concern? What I'm reading sounds like the bubble's about to burst this summer. Can you first explain what that is and your thoughts?
So we talk about this. First, I want to acknowledge what you said a moment ago, John. I recognize that there are people that this economy is working for, and those are people that have investments. And then those are people who are just launching into life, dealing with all of the increased costs. And that bifurcation between those who are doing so well and those who are struggling, yes, we need to find various cures for that. And that's why elections matter, and people should vote based on their economic and social morals that they hold dear. That being the case, as far as a bubble goes, no, I don't see stocks trading at 50 times earnings like previous bubbles. Do we acknowledge that valuations are very ripe, which means a whole lot of things have to continue to go right to have progress? Yes, of course that's the case, but that's why the people out there should build diversified portfolios so that their portfolios can take a stomach punch when inevitably some darker days rear their ugly heads.
Craig Milano said of a text, you're not going to answer it here, but someone wanted to know, I want to put my money into a vehicle that will earn 8 to 10% yearly return, but not an annuity. I have a diverse portfolio. Obviously, they can chat with you then. 8 to 10% guaranteed. I don't think there's a vehicle like that, Craig Milano's, but if there is, I guess you can tell the texter about it.
You know what, John? There are lots of vehicles that have historic compound annual growth rates of 8 to 10%. But if someone wants to get the consistency of returns in that level, then it's going to be something maybe in private markets, not just public markets, that might get it done. But that's a whole other discussion, a.k.a. the world of private credit, et cetera.
833-WMG-PLAN is where someone can call you and your team to talk about it. Craig, as always, it's a pleasure. We'll talk soon, okay?
John, great to be with you.